Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 13th day of June 2024. Before I introduce my guest and topic for the day, I have a very special announcement. All men in ministry leadership are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which will be held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And we are featuring for the very first time our guest speaker, Dr. Joseph Boot, who is the founder and president of the Ezra Institute. He's an author and a highly sought-after conference speaker. And if you would like to attend this event, all you have to do is email me your free registration. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put a pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Not only is this event free as far as the admission and the lunch and being edified by a message from Dr. Joseph Boot, but everyone in attendance will also receive a heavy sack of brand new books, free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. Everything is free of charge. So if you would like to attend, if you can get to Perry County, Pennsylvania, by plane, train, or automobile, I hope that as many of you as possible will attend. We broke a record last week for the highest attendance ever in the history of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheons. We had Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and chancellor of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary of Grand Rapids, Michigan, who was the keynote speaker. And we had over 250 men in attendance, which was definitely a record breaker, and we hope to even break that record next time. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line to register. And that luncheon is going to be held the day before another 3 days of ministry that will be conducted by Dr. Joseph Boot. And the man who is orchestrating that event is with us today, my dear friend Joel Saint, Executive Director of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, also known as MARS. He is pastor of Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. And today we're not only going to be promoting that event that Joel is hosting, featuring Dr. Joseph Boot, but we are also going to be discussing the theme, Christ is King. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my friend, Pastor Joel Saint.
Always good to be with you, Chris.
First of all, tell our listeners about the Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania.
Yes, I've been pastor there for a little over 10 years. Started out small, of course, with a few friends who supported the Independence Reformed Bible Church. The reason why we began the church, or actually reasons, if you will, is it seems like there is a dearth of pastors who are willing to talk about the entirety of the Word of God as it applies to society. I'll give an illustration. Most Christians, if you run into them, will say, you'll ask, hey, is Christ Lord of me? Whether I acknowledge it or not. Well, the answer is, well, yeah, he's Lord of me. Well, is he Lord of my family, whether I acknowledge it or not? Well, yeah. How about the church? Yes. How about society? Oh, I don't know about that. We live in a democracy, this pluralistic society, and so forth. Well, it's in part for that reason, Chris. I don't think that's the only reason, but that's part of the reason why many pastors will not touch what the Bible has to say about society, which I find amazing, because we have whole books that are named after civil magistrates, if you will. For example, we have the book of Judges. Of course, Moses was a civil magistrate. We have 1 and 2 Samuel. Samuel was a magistrate. He was a king. He was also a magistrate. We have 1 and 2 Kings. So clearly the Bible addresses kings. We have 1 and 2 Chronicles of the kings. And then we have, for example, Nehemiah and so forth. And then we have the prophets who interacted, especially Jeremiah, who interacted extensively with kings. So it's a shock to me still to this day in 2024. We've been at it actually close to 11 years now, the Independence Reformed Bible Church. It's a shock to me still that pastors will not address what the Bible has to say to society, which in order to do that, you have to cut out an awful lot of scripture and say, you know, we're not going to talk about that. But really, we have no right not to talk about anything since God gave us his entire word. So that was a big part of why, not the only part again, but that's a big part of why the Independence Reformed Bible Church was formed these 11 years ago.
And if anybody wants more details about the Independence Reformed Bible Church, you can go to irbc.church. irbc.church, and that is in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, the Lancaster area. And tell us now something about the Future of Christendom conferences.
Yeah, we are excited about this. We're thrilled. In fact, I talked to some folks at the pastor's luncheon there, Chris, just a week or so ago, 2 weeks maybe, who already told me that they're excited about coming. They've been there before. And they're especially excited to hear from Dr. Joe Boot. Dr. Boot has written extensively. He's a very engaging author. He is going to be our speaker there talking about the issue of Christ is King. Now, this is an important thing because, again, we wouldn't say it in our doctrinal statements. But again, going back to the idea of Christ being King, yeah, he's King of my church. He's King of me, etc. But is he really King of all the world? We recall, of course, that John introduces Christ as the king, ruler of the kings of the earth there in Revelation chapter 1. And so that's our theme this year. Christ is King. And Dr. Joe Boot will be delivering two keynote sessions. He's a wonderful speaker. He's also going to be delivering one of our exposition talks. And we call exposition talks. Chris, they're 18-minute talks, kind of styled after the whole TED talk, wherein we introduce a subject that applies to or is subject to the idea of Christ being King. And so some of our speakers will be Christ is King of legislators, Christ is King of, well, for example, Chris Hume, one of our speakers, will be speaking on the topic of Christ is King of raw milk, because we've had an awful lot of problems with that. The state stepping in and saying, no, you can't sell raw milk to your neighbor. Your neighbor wants it, you want to sell it, but oh no, the state has to be involved. So we will be addressing such topics. We're excited. We have one speaker addressing the topic, Christ is King of the Jews, which he obviously is. He's King of everyone. And that was how Christ is introduced there in the book of Matthew. The wise men saying, where is he who was born King of the Jews? And if you really want to stir things up, Dr. Joe Boot will be delivering an exposition talk, an 18-minute talk, in addition to his two keynote sessions. His topic will be Christ is King of Your Pronouns.
Now, I know that he is speaking specifically at the conference on Friday, October 11th, and Saturday, October 12th. But is he sticking around to do a Sunday worship service for you as well?
He will be speaking not at the Independence Reformed Bible Church, but he'll be speaking at Pastor Matt Kennison's church, St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, Schuylkill County. So he will be speaking there on Sunday morning.
Great. Well, if anybody wants more details on that event, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. And if you could also explain the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, also nicknamed MARS.
Yes, and that is, we're in a transition right now where we're actually switching over that name MARS, or Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, to the Future of Christendom. And we'll be rolling that out as time goes on. But in any case, we got that organization started here about 12, maybe 13 years ago, in part because we felt that the issues of our culture were not being addressed at churches. So we began the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society at that time to assist pastors in addressing these issues. Of course, what we find out is a lot of pastors will say, you know what, I don't really want to talk about these kinds of things because we have people involved in our churches that are into this. And I'll give you a quick example. I met with a young lady who's with a anti-abortion ministry, and she spoke with a pastor and asked the pastor to get on board with what anti-abortion ministry. Now, that should be pretty simple to do. You know, we're not going to kill our neighbors anymore. Let's stop doing this. And the pastor said, you know what? Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but we have people in our churches that are either had an abortion or maybe think it's okay. And so we don't want to address that particular topic. So the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, we were a little bit frustrated when we found out that an awful lot of pastors didn't want to address these topics. And I get it, they're controversial. But, you know, honestly, Chris, was there anyone more controversial than God's prophets, God's apostles, and Christ himself? Our standard is not what's controversial. Our standard must be the Word of God. Amen. And so that's why we got started, and that's why we're still going.
Amen. And that is, the website is midatlanticreformation.org, but from what you just said, that may be obsolete coming up in the near future.
Yeah, it still might come up, but if you go to futureofchristendom.org, all one word, futureofchristendom.org, you'll find us.
Well, I'd like you,
futureofchristendom.org.
I'd like you to give my listeners your own thoughts on your experience, or experiences, plural, at my last Iron Sharp and Zion Radio free biannual pastor's luncheon, which was last week. It was June 6th, Thursday, June 6th, at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And we had Joel Beakey, as I've already mentioned, as our keynote speaker. Tell me your thoughts about the time you had.
Yeah, this one might have been, Chris, my third or fourth time. I'm not sure. It's kind of a problem because I keep coming back with a big pack of books. I really should do a library purge, but I can't find it in my heart to purge my books. I can't. I know I need not to be a book hoarder, but I can't help it. So at these luncheons that you do, Chris, you get the free books and you get the free food. Chris, what pastor can possibly stay away from that? Right?
I know. And the wives can rest assured that their husbands are not going to be purchasing the books because we don't sell anything ever at my pastor's luncheons.
That's right. Nothing sold there. So you get a great meal. And you get the opportunity here pick up books that are relevant. And I've gotten wonderful books in the past and this time as well. So it's something. And not only that, you get to hear a speaker and with experience, like Pastor Joel Beakey has an awful lot of experience. He's been at this for a long time. But you get an opportunity to meet people that you would not have an opportunity to meet otherwise. Like, for example, I met a young man from Brazil who's training for the ministry. Well, it turns out I have a daughter-in-law who's from Brazil, so we had something to talk about. Again, these are the opportunities you get at a meeting like this. So I would encourage folks to stop on by. It's just a late morning and an afternoon, and you get lots of time to sit and fellowship. And I don't know about other pastors, but I rarely, in my case, I rarely find it a waste of time to talk to another pastor. I nearly always enjoy it. And you certainly get an opportunity at these luncheons.
Amen. Well, I really appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing you at the next one. And hopefully we'll see each other long before that, because it's all the way in the fall. Well, today we have a very important topic. I'm going to read a verse of the inerrant God-breathed scriptures that highlights our theme. John chapter 12, verses 12 to 13, which is a brief description of the triumphal entry of Christ. On the next day, when the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, indeed the King of Israel." And we are going to be discussing Christ is King. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the reasons you wanted to address this at your conference is that there had been some controversy that erupted last November 2023 when there was some friction developing between Candace Owen and Ben Shapiro, who is an Orthodox Jew, both of them conservative podcast hosts at the time with the same outlet. And because they had different political views on the United States' involvement in the current crisis in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas, Candace Owen being more of an isolationist and not believing that the United States should be involved in that foreign conflict, that raised the ire of Ben Shapiro. And during some back and forth with one another, Candace Owen declared Christ is King, and it was actually something that, unfortunately, people interpreted it as an anti-Semitic remark. Now, one of the reasons for this, sadly, is that there is a truly anti-Semitic person named Nick Fuentes, who has a following of people who could be rightly called neo-Nazis in a sense. They certainly seem to have a adoration for Adolf Hitler and Nazism, and they had at least one of his events, Nick Fuentes' events, the crowd was chanting Christ is King. In their case, that's blasphemy. They're taking the name of the Lord in vain, because these are truly not servants of Christ. These are people who are not truly bowing the knee and obeying Christ and following his precepts and worshiping him. So, and unfortunately, people slandered Candace Owen for, in their opinion, just mimicking Nick Fuentes' group, and the whole thing became viewed as an anti-Semitic slogan. Well, first of all, when something is true, we cannot let wicked people silence us just because they do a false imitation of it. Should we, Joel?
Well, here's the thing. Back it up a little bit. Every single New Testament writer, every single one, dealt with false teachers, dealt with people who are going to pervert their message. Jeremiah certainly dealt extensively with that. And I encourage people to read Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is the guy that we see his personal life. Some of the other prophets, some of the other minor prophets, and to an extent, Isaiah, not Ezekiel so much, but with some of the prophets, we just get their message. We do not get their personal life. It's different with Jeremiah. We get his life, and it's a difficult one. And one of the things he dealt with consistently is people kept on perverting his message. And they would give counter prophecies. Like he was saying, you got to turn back to the Lord. You got to repent. And they're saying, no. God told us that everybody that's already carried off to Babylon is coming back in 2 years. And Jeremiah's answer was to keep on proclaiming the word of God. That was his answer. Now, I don't know, would he have been tempted to be quiet and say, well, since people are going to pervert my message, I'm going to stop doing it. That's what they want. But what we need to do as people who believe in the word of God, which is settled forever in heaven, and which endures, as Psalm 117 says, to all generations, his truth endures to all generations, we must continue to proclaim what's actually true. And that is the word of God. And yeah, there will be those who pervert it. But you know, I noticed something, Chris. This is something I've noticed. People say this all the time. Well, we don't know what the Bible says. You know, there's so many of their interpretations and so forth. Well, no, don't murder your neighbor is not that hard to interpret. Don't do that. Don't commit adultery, not hard to interpret. But then no one says that about, say, for example, the U.S. Constitution. People argue about the Constitution all the time. There are constitutional lawyers that argue about it. No one says, well, the Constitution is irrelevant because we argue about it. But somehow, if we bring up an argument against the validity of the Word of God, that invalidates the Word of God. But those rules seem to only apply to the Bible, Chris. They don't seem to apply to any other document that I know of.
Right. And this is an important declaration that Christ is King, because Christians know that there is no ruler anywhere on this planet that is our king other than Christ, and we must obey him and all of his commands. And the whole concept of people being Christian who are not bowing the knee to Jesus as king until hopefully at some later point in their life, when they are hopefully reaching a point of greater sanctification, then it is said that they make Jesus the Lord of their life. But nobody makes Jesus the Lord of their life, do they?
No, he already is that. And the world is full of two types of people. Those who are actively submitting to their legitimate existing king, and those who are in rebellion. You know, I love the idea that people, you know, we talk about the idea of you need to have a relationship with Christ and so forth, which I can't get my arms around, because everybody has a relationship with Christ. You have it right now. He is king, and you are either a rebel or you are submissive to him, but you do have that relationship to him. The idea of making him, you know, if I can make Christ Lord, if I can make Christ king, if I can do it, Chris, guess who's really king? That would be me, right?
Right. And of course, to give folks the benefit of the doubt in spite of their sloppy phraseology, I'm assuming that most Christians mean by that that you must serve Christ as king. He already is king, but you are either going to be serving him or rebelling against him. And there will be a day, if you're not bowing to him as king now, there will be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. You don't want to have that occur when it is too late to do so voluntarily and in praise and adoration and in love for Christ. That day when everyone is doing it, there will be a multitude who are doing it just out of sheer abject terror. Isn't that true?
Yeah, here's the thing. That's exactly right. And it is a matter of timing. And this is something that we need to communicate to people, whether or not they accept it. We need to communicate to them that everyone will bow the knee to Christ. Everyone will. It's a matter of timing. You can do it now. You can do it later, but you will. Right now, embrace him as your savior, because later on, if you don't, you will face him as your judge. You know, all authority. Here's the thing. And some people have a problem with this, but Chris, Jesus Christ has no more authority in heaven than he has on earth. If he says all authority, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth, think about that for a second. He has the exact same amount of authority in heaven as he has on earth. Well, what kind of authority does he have? All-reaching authority in heaven. He has the exact same authority here on earth. We must encourage people to submit to that authority, believe in this wonderful Christ. You know, they say, well, you know, people say, oh, there's all kinds of gods. We get this all the time. Which God should I believe in? Well, start with this one. Start with the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, who gave his life for you. I want to see a competing God to that. There is no competing God to that. Most gods, most kings, whatever, they want you to give their life for them. There's only one, count them, one who gave his life for you. That might be one that you might want to start with.
And we have to go to our first commercial break. If you'd like to join us on the air with your own question for Joel Saint, pastor of the Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question is in regard to a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We here at Iron Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Father's Day is this Sunday. If you go to royaldiadem.com now and you find something that you like in the realm of jewelry for Dad that they already have in stock, they can make sure that they FedEx it to you overnight, so you'll have it in time for Father's Day. So go to royaldiadem.com, and whether you're purchasing something that they have in stock in the realm of jewelry, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your business logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing physical piece of jewelry. And I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing jewelry. So whatever the case may be, whether you're purchasing jewelry they have in stock already, or if you're getting something created and customized, whatever the case may be, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. I'm urging you to go to royaldiadem.com today to get the ball rolling on your purchase of jewelry, whether it's for yourself or someone you love. Even if you're not making the final purchase today, please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to further ensure that we will get 100% of the profits from that sale when it eventually happens, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com. Mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Pastor Joel Saint of Independence Reformed Bible Church, and that is in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, in the Lancaster area. And we have Vernon in Mission, Kansas, who has a question. What do you make of the idea that many Christians seem to have, and I think this may be specifically or predominantly coming out of dispensationalism, where Jesus will not be Lord until the millennial kingdom and Satan is now in control of this world?
Yeah, and thank you, Vernon, for that great question. Let me answer that from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace you and peace from him who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ. Now, John's going to describe Jesus Christ. He's going to tell us who he is. Here we go. The faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Here's the thing, and this is a problem with the book of Revelation some people have. we often take the Old Testament and say, well, that was before, that was for Israel. We have nothing to do with that. And then they go to the book of Revelation at times and say, well, that's for the future. We have nothing to do with that. But there's John in AD, you know, I happen to believe an earlier date, but whatever. John is alive, and he's saying that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings over the earth. And so if he's the ruler when John was alive, I don't know what event happened between the time when John was alive and now where Christ somehow moved off of the scene. And to say that Satan is in charge, well, I would believe that if Christ would have stood, you know, just before his ascension and said, you know what, all power is given to me in heaven, but just so you guys know, all power on earth is given to Satan. If he would have said that, then I could agree with that. But he didn't say it, and so I can't buy it, based on the Word of God.
Now, do you think that the serious confusion here is because most of the people of the world, and most of them would be unconsciously doing this, obviously, are serving Satan? It's not that he's in control, because even that very famous story in the book of Job, where Satan is harassing Job, he has to ask God for permission every time he does it.
He does indeed, and he can do nothing without God's permission there. That should really tell us an awful lot right there, that Satan himself is not beyond the power of God. Now, that obviously brings up all these theodicy questions, which you know, people have written books on that and so forth. But very clearly from the book of Job, Satan is, and think about this, he is powerless without the permission of God. Again, if God has all authority, Christ, all authority, then he has all authority. And if he has all authority over heaven and earth, I mean, what's he splitting it with Satan? He said, "We, this is your department, and I'll take my department." And speaking of departments, I would argue that this is part of our problem, Chris, with the whole idea of the civil magistrate, meaning this. Almost any Christian that I talk to will agree that the that personally speaking, personally, the civil magistrate has to answer to Christ for his personal and for his personal life, what he does at home, etc. But when he comes to do his public job, well, now we live in a democracy. You do understand we live in a democracy, and this is pluralism here, and so forth. And we have a constitution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, he really can't be held responsible for what he does publicly since, and here's the kicker, they won't admit it outwardly, but it's what it's, a lot of people believe, since we live in that democracy or republic, well, more of a republican democracy, obviously, but since we live in this universe where man is in charge, that somehow gives the civil magistrate an excuse not to obey Christ. And our message at, well, Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, Mars, and now Future of Christendom, our message is no. The civil magistrate must answer to Christ in all of his doings. He does not have a get-out-of-jail-free card when he walks into his office simply because some bureaucrat or some elected official says, well, we don't worry about the Word of God around here. Around here, you know, we have different rules. Now, there's only one lawmaker, and that's God. He is our lawmaker, and everyone else is either adjust to his law or perverts his law, but no one makes law. They make code. I'll agree with that. All kinds of codes. There's hundreds of thousands of them, but there's only one lawgiver. That's Christ.
Amen. Well, we have Leland in Watermill, Long Island, New York. The verses that I always hear when people defend the idea that Satan is the king or the lord or the ruler of this world is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How do you exegete this? That's interesting, because there is controversy involving that there are people who do not believe. There are biblical scholars who do not believe that is referring to Satan.
Yeah, and even let's go the whole way and say even if it is, because he doesn't really say Satan there. It says the God of this world. And I think that's an important omission by Paul right there. He says that the God of this world has blinded. Well, that's what fake gods do. Whether it's a god of money or whether it's an idol or whether it's god of sex or transgenderism or whatever, this is why idolatry is just so bad, because it does blind our minds. And again, what we don't want to do, Chris, is we don't want to play what I don't have a better term for this, what I call Bible verse warfare. In other words, we talk and we say, well, my verse can beat up your verse. and that's what we do. And so can we explain what Paul says there, and the God of this world is blinded their minds? Can we square that with all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth? And so we have to do that. We can't just say, well, I believe this verse, I'm going to ignore the other ones. And I think we can. Yeah, gods do that. They blind people. All throughout the Old Testament, they began to worship other gods, and in every case, they began to deny reality every single time. And they began to think, well, if we sacrifice our children to this particular god, then we're going to have a better harvest or whatever. Well, that's not reality. And idols will do that to us. They will blind us. That's what Paul's saying.
But, you know, what prevents me from ruling out that this is actually talking about God, Yahweh, is one of the things that would support that it is 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Well, what's going to happen there is people are going to say, God can't blind people, but he can. And he does.
You're talking about spiritually.
And he has. Yeah, he has done that spiritually. And he did that with Pharaoh, for example, and told Pharaoh outright, I have raised you up for this point, for this moment. And it says very clearly, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said that. And God can do that. You know, Chris, it reminds me, if he wants to. So I've never taken that to be to be God Yahweh, if you will. However, again, it doesn't say Satan there.
Oh, you mean, but you do believe it is Yahweh, obviously, in 2 Thessalonians, though, right?
No doubt about that. He God himself is sending strong delusions, and the reason it says that there's a purpose clause there. I'm sending them strong delusions that they will believe a lie. Now, some people are going to react that, oh, God would never do that. But wait a second. Let's just back off for a second. How long is God, the gracious God that sent his son, Chris, how long is he supposed to put up with us? You know, if we insist on believing lies, if we insist on worshiping idols, if we insist on doing that, is God wrong at some point to say, okay, you know what? You want to worship idols? I'm going to give you idols. It's going to blind you, but you've already chosen blindness. Christ himself said that. He said, you know, let them alone. This is in Matthew 15. They are blind leaders of the blind. Well, who would choose a blind leader? Only people who are already blind and who want, and this is the key, who want to stay that way. So I see great justice in God giving people what they want eventually. He's gracious. He holds out his hands in mercy. But there are those who said, no, I don't want your mercy. Okay. You're going to get my wrath. You chose it. And certainly the Thessalonians passage is making that point crystal clear, it seems to me.
Amen. And, I mean, what a really depressing understanding of life as a Christian on this earth to think that Satan is the ruler of this world. We know that Romans 8:28 is true, that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. We know that everything that occurs on this earth happens because God has a purpose for it, and that he is in total control of these things. He's ordained these things, and even as David said in Psalm 139, every page of my book was written by you before anyone came to be. And I hope I didn't butcher that text, but I'm doing it by memory. But this is an extremely pessimistic understanding of the Christian life on this earth, especially when you add to it a non-reformed understanding of humans, where their future is not something ordained by God. And here we are left with our free wills determining our future, and we have the greatest foe that has ever been created harassing us on a constant basis, Satan himself and his minions. I mean, what a horrible way of looking at this world while we're in it, isn't it?
Well, it's definitely a hopeless way. And let me see if I can kind of illustrate with a story. So this is what happened, right, at our church, IRBC. Some folks, a husband and wife team, put together a Bible memory program. And there were five different levels, right? And the lowest level is mostly for kids. I think you had about 3 months of maybe memorize like 10 verses. And then went all the way up to the top. And the top of it was to memorize the book of Hosea. And so can you guess what I did like a dope? I signed up to memorize Hosea. I don't know if that was the smartest thing I ever did in my life. It probably wasn't. That was work. Anyway, here's what I found out about that book, though. And I would encourage Leland, who's asked this good question, anyone else, if you have a problem understanding that God is in charge and in control, read that book. And if you really believe that we have this nice free will and that, you know, who knows, it's kind of a coin flip, we might choose God, we might not, I would encourage you to read that book. Because in that book, you will see, and read it through, and I had to memorize it, so it was more intense for me. And in fact, I talked to other people who had memorized the book. We all had the same reaction. All of us that memorized the book had the exact same reaction. And the reaction was this: look how wicked these people are, or were. Look at every single time, Chris, every time, they had an opportunity to run away from God, their sovereign king. They couldn't wait to do it. And the only thing bringing them back was the active participation, the active intervention by God himself. And, you know, they did horrible things. Like, for example, they'll say there in the book, like, or Hosea's chiding them for turning to Assur or Assyria and Egypt. Now, think about our bent towards destruction here. Egypt was the country, the nation that tried to destroy them. And Assyria was the nation that got it done, at least for the northern 10 tribes. And there they are just running to them and running away from God, their true savior, their true redeemer, their true creator. Here's the thing. Hosea makes it clear. If God's not in charge, we're all finished. Because to put us in charge or put Satan in charge, we can't run to destruction fast enough. That sounds hardcore for some people, but I'm telling you, Hosea will make that clear to you. I encourage anyone, read through that book. You'll be shocked at how bad these people were and about how much they loved whoring after false gods and how fast they constantly ran away from the true God. It's an amazing thing. I hope people do it.
And we have to go to our midway break. Please use this time wisely and contact as many of our advertisers as you can, or at least write down their contact information to further ensure you will successfully do so later, keeping in mind that our advertisers and the finances that come through them are what keeps us in existence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley. a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello. Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco. serious injury lawyer, and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you could never go wrong purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com, and that's no exaggeration. They only bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White. So I urge you to visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please think of them for all the special occasions in your life, birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, retirements, weddings, and on we could go. That's solid-ground-books.com. Well, before I return to my fascinating interview with Pastor Joel Saint of Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, I have some very important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch organization, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, no matter what it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, keep in mind, as urgently and as desperately as I need your donations, I never want anybody to donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by cutting into the finances that you have set aside for giving to your own local church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a gift. Please don't do that. Don't give your church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church because you want to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still his money. We're primarily to use it to provide for our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Zion Radio is not, obviously, a command of God. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, well, if you love the show, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue broadcasting and blessing you and others with the guests and the topics we have here sometimes that are never heard anywhere else. So go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, well, no matter where in the world you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I've helped many people all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, that are biblically sound. And that may be you too if you are without a biblically faithful church home, no matter where in the world you live. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Pastor Joel Saint of the Independence Reformed Bible Church as we continue our conversation on Christ is King. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. We have Luann, and Luann is in Progress, Pennsylvania, and Luann has a question. I was wondering if you have brought this verse up, and forgive me if you have, but another verse that those that believe that Jesus is not currently the God of this earth bring up is in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. If you go down to verse 28, you heard me say, I'm going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Well, that doesn't seem to me to prove that that is anybody else but God. But what do you have to say about that, Joel?
Yes, and excuse me, a big thank you to Luann for that question. The idea, as I recall, the origin of the question was, well, this means that Christ isn't king because he's going away. However, he's saying he's actually sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And what is the Comforter's job, the Holy Spirit's job? He will bring to remembrance the things that I spoke to you. So the Holy Spirit is not necessarily bringing something new, at least as far as the disciples are concerned right there. What he's doing is he's helping them to remember what Christ had said to them while he was here. And going back to what we always often understand as the Great Commission, I'm intrigued with Matthew 28. We memorize Matthew 28:18-20. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, etc. interestingly, the previous verse says that the people that knew Christ had risen, they met there together on the mountain, but it says that some doubted. Now, why did they doubt? Well, there's perhaps a lot of argument on that, but my understanding of why they doubted was they didn't know what Christ was going to do now. What's he going to do? Okay, so he rose from the dead, now what? And they find out with the Great Commission what Christ is going to do and what he's doing and what their job is right away. And that seemed to destroy their doubts. And that is one of the reasons why I believe that in our time, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We have a conquering king. I'm talking about Christ as king here. He's not a negotiating king. He is a conquering king. And so when Christ says, I'm going away, he says, I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm going to send you someone who's going to remember, and you're going to remember the things that I said. Well, one of the things that they remember that he said, and obviously it's in both Matthew and Luke, actually and Mark in a different way, all authority given to Christ, heaven and earth, that leaves no room for anyone else. And it's good that he did, because as Luann has mentioned, yeah, the prince of this world or however you want to take that, if it's Satan, prince of darkness, whatever, yeah, that's why Christ is reminding us that has all authority in heaven and on earth, because there's bad people, there's bad things out there. Thankfully, we have a king who is in charge of these kinds of things. To your point earlier, Chris, if Christ isn't in charge, then we're in a crapshoot, and who knows? Who knows, because maybe we should worship Satan if he has all the power, which we all know that satanic worship is power worship anyway, but it's power away from submission to our true king, which, of course, is Christ.
And the key words here that prove that Christ is still in authority is he has no hold over me.
What kind of authority figure is it that has no hold over those that he's supposed to have authority over? It seems to me that's an opposite statement of authority, right, not right. A confirming statement.
Yeah, just because the word prince being there, like, you know, the prince of the power of the air is referring to Satan, prince of darkness and all that kind of thing. But in fact, Beelzebub means... Apparently, in Hebrew, it means two different things. It could be interpreted two different ways. Lord of the flies or Lord of dung. And perhaps it could be interpreted both ways, because wherever you have dung, you have flies. I'm assuming that's the reason. But that is not obviously exalting Satan as a lord, but it's showing that he is the lord of nothing more than dung.
Yeah, how would you like to be Lord of Dung? Here's Joel Saint. I'll use myself. He's a real important guy. He's in charge. What's he in charge of? He's in charge of dung. Right. What a guy. Now there's a guy I want to get to know. Or maybe not.
Well, I'd like you to continue with some of the thoughts that you have on this issue that you most had in mind when choosing this topic, not only to speak about today, but to have it as a major theme of your conference coming up in October with Dr. Joe Boot.
Yeah, no question about that. We stand around, water cooler, whatever, and we talk about the problems of the world. What's wrong here? What's wrong there? Well, could the problems of the world be traced back to the fact that we have rebelled against our creator? If we have a creator, and if he created us, then he knows what we're supposed to do. He knows who we're supposed to worship. I love the fact that the first commandment is no other gods before me, because he starts out saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Honestly, Chris, I love that commandment. I just love it. Because why would we ever want to worship another God? Why would we want to do that when the true God has brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage? No other, all the other gods bring us into bondage. Chris, It's hard for me to think of a better way to love my neighbor than to declare that Christ is King. He's the King who died for you. He is the King who redeemed you. He is the King who knows all about you because he created you. What can be possibly be better than that? We have an entire history in the scriptures of those that rebelled against Christ, that rebelled against God, and it always winds up in bloodshed and terror. And really, is that not where we're headed right now? We've rejected Christ as a nation, and where are we headed? We're already there, bloodshed. 63 million or how babies or however many there are could definitely tell you that we are definitely embracing bloodshed. Now, of course, we're having all kinds of other problems, and there is, you know, it's kind of funny. This is a rabbit trail here. It's kind of funny to look at some of the older reports of murders just from a couple generations ago, Chris. It was a big deal when there was a murder in maybe a small town or even larger towns. Now, murder? Eh, we don't even notice it. We're embracing bloodshed. And we've sown to the wind. We're reaping the whirlwind. Unpleasant thing.
We have a question from Dale in Washington, Pennsylvania. And Dale says, isn't a good motivation to remember that Christ is King over everything is a constant reminder that he is inescapable. We cannot have a private pocket of our activities on this earth where he is not the king of it. And it reminds us to worship him in every single thing that we say and do.
Is he really king though? Some will say, well, and I heard this recently from one particular speaker. Well, God doesn't really talk about X, so we can kind of do what we want. Okay, I get it. He hasn't told us, at least as far as I know, in the Bible, how to bake a cherry pie. But that's not a moral question, unless you're putting poison in it, and then you're covered by the thou shalt, you know, do no murder command.
We are to be thankful for whatever we eat, though.
Yeah, that's right. As long as it's good for our health, be thankful for it. No question about it. If it's bad for our health, some statists want us to consume food. I just saw. I don't know if Chris, did you see that there's a huge noodle recall? Did you see that?
No, I did not.
I wouldn't expect you to. Right. But I mean, we have the state telling us that we're not allowed to drink raw milk. We have the problem with Amos Miller right here in Lancaster County. And I sat in, and this is going to sound like a rabbit trail, but it's really not. I sat in on his trial, one of his trials. He's had a few. And the state of Pennsylvania, Chris, could not mention of the thousands of orders that he has shipped out to many people throughout the nation, throughout the North America, and who knows, maybe even beyond. I don't know. They could not come up with one person who'd ever been harmed by his product, not one single one. And yet they sat and they said, well, you know what? We need to shut this guy down because he's not adhering to the laws. They should have said codes, but the bureaucratic laws of Pennsylvania. If, as Dale is suggesting here, it is our responsibility to acknowledge him in all our ways, which it is, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. We wouldn't be messing with these kinds of bureaucratic nonsense that tell us that you're not allowed to drink raw milk if your neighbor wants to sell it to you. Yeah, you know, I mean, what's wrong? You know, Amos Miller wants to sell me raw milk. I want to buy it. What is the problem? If we would be acknowledging Christ in all our ways, we would not have a problem with that. But in all your ways, acknowledge man, and man will direct your paths. Well, this is definitely what you're going to get. Now, again, Chris, this is where people have a problem. They're like, well, it is legitimate for, you know, the state. The state has to have rules and so forth. I answer this way. The only rules that the state's allowed to have is the ones that God has given them permission to have. No more. No more than that. And I seem to notice Romans 13 says God has given the power of the sword to the state to discourage evil and to praise the good. I seem to notice that the less they use the sword to discourage evil, the more they seem to be in our business about everything else, what kind of house we can build, what kind of screws we need to screw in our paneling or our you name it, drywall, whatever, plywood, you name it. Once we get away from God and his law word, it's Katie by the door, bar the door, and the sky's the limit. And they can come up with hundreds of thousands of regulations, which they have now. Who knows, Chris? I don't even know how many regulations I'm breaking right now of man's word. I don't even know.
Okay. We have Merrill in Londonderry, New Hampshire. And Merrill says, in looking over your websites, I have seen that you are a post-millennialist. How does this subject relate to that?
Merle's setting me up here.
It has everything Merle. To do with it, I think.
Thank you, Merle. Not gonna argue with you, Merle. You're exactly correct. I mentioned earlier we have a conquering king, not a negotiating king. That's super important. Because what is this king going to do with the earth? Now, even my premillennial friends will agree with me that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The question is, when's that going to happen? It's a question of timing. In other words, will that happen in history or will it happen outside of history? Now, some of my Amill friends might not exactly agree with me on that point. Others might. Here's the thing. If the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, why not work for that now? Here's the thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, that, and he says before that, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, basically saying knowing that your labor is not in vain. So we're allowed to, we can say, and I think we post-mills can say this probably better than everybody else. Some of my all-mill and pre-mill friends would argue with me on this point, but let me throw it out there. That means that the woman who is changing the dirty diapers at home in that thankless job, or the landscape guy who isn't an official missionary or whatever, all labor is not in vain. And why is that? Because we have a king who smiles upon our labor and who will use our labor to glorify himself. And this labor is not in vain. And the earth is not getting worse and worse. In fact, it's getting better and better. Now we're far away from where we should be, where we need to be. But think of, I was just talking about Robert Ehrlich today, you know, that wrote the population bomb in the 70s, right? And then that was like a fulfillment of prophecy for some people. Yeah. It's all going to hell in a handbasket and so forth. Well, Robert Ehrlich was wrong. And I mean, he was way wrong. What is disgusting is he still gets speaking engagements, which is, I can't believe anybody would pay a nickel to hear him when he was that wrong. However, here's the thing. If we, as free people, will honor Christ, love God, love our neighbor, how in the world can the world do anything else but improve? How can it possibly get worse as we expand the kingdom of heaven?
Okay, we have a question from Chet in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. And Chet says, how do you explain when Jesus said to Pontius Pilate that my kingdom is not of this world, when those use that as a proof text in their mind to prove that what you are trying to propose today is in error?
Yeah, that is one that just keeps on coming up again and again, John 18:36. And Chet, I would explain it this way. I believe that the answer to the question is within the verse itself. Jesus answers Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? And here's the key. Here's the money. Well, it's all money, but here's the phrase that helps us understand. But now my kingdom is not from here. So the word of is used a lot of different ways. Now, when you look this word up, as I have, the primary meaning here is not, of is legitimately translated that way. But we can say, like Chet Did you say Chet from King of Prussia? I think you said Chet is from King of Prussia. We can also say Chet of King of Prussia. Who is Chet? Chet of King of Prussia. When Jesus says this, my kingdom is not of this world, he's talking about the origin of the power.
Right. In fact, Joe Moorcraft, who I know that you highly esteem, brought that very thing up. That my kingdom, he believes it should be translated, my kingdom is not from this world, according to how he understands the Greek word there.
And Joe Moorcraft is far more of a Greek scholar than I am, so I will definitely defer to him on this point. In any case, the end of the verse actually explains it so clearly, Chris. But now my kingdom is not from here. I don't get my power from here. That's the thing that Pilate understood. Pilate's asking, hey, where's your power base? Who you got out there supporting you? What are you doing? And Christ is saying, my kingdom does not depend on power bases from here. So in this very verse itself, I want to make this point as clear as I can. And it's discouraging that there are so many people that will not acknowledge this. It's right there in the verse. My kingdom is not from here. Again, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. John introduces him, the same writer. Now think about this. The same writer that writes this in John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. That's the same writer who introduces Christ as the ruler of the kings of the earth there in Revelation chapter 1. So we don't have to play Bible verse warfare between Revelation chapter 1 and John 18. We can easily understand both, and it's super simple.
Well, thank you, Chet. And I think that one of my favorite restaurants in Pennsylvania, Autograph Brasserie, is not far, if I'm not mistaken, from King of Prussia. It's in Wayne, Pennsylvania. Is Wayne close to King of Prussia?
Indeed it is. It's very close. Okay. I'm not sure if it's in the same county, but it's all along the main line there. It's very close.
I hope that restaurant is still open because it's mind-blowing. It's so phenomenal. And I just gave them free advertising.
Yeah, send them a bill, Chris. You got to send them a bill.
I want you to really instill in our listeners the importance of making sure that they rightly understand this, because it does have ramifications on how we live and serve our King on this earth, how we worship our King. Even when people, I mean, Jesus is definitely a friend of sinners. I am thanking God that Jesus is my friend. But that does not mean that we should view him as merely our buddy. We have to never forget that he is King, and it really transforms the concept of having a friend who is a king rather than having a friend who is merely a peer of ours. I mean, this really transforms everything about the way we think and act, believe and worship as a Christian, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know what? Let me illustrate by giving a story here. Years ago, my son joined the military. And, of course, the first 2 weeks or whatever, you have the drill inspector, whatever you want to call him now, who all he does, and he wasn't the only one, all he ever did was yell in everybody's face. That's what he did. And everybody was scared of him and so forth. And they had, I think it was like a six-week training, as I recall. I think it was basic. It might have been more than that. I can't remember the exact amount. This was the Air Force. And so what this man did, he was very good at what he did. He screamed and yelled at them and told them how wrong they were for 6 weeks in a row. Guess what was happening when they all graduated? Everybody's lining up. They wanted to have their picture taken with them. They wanted to autograph their stuff. Everybody was doing it. Why would they do that? Because they sensed that he actually did care about them. He wanted them to be the best soldiers they could possibly be. And so this idea that that our king is not to be loved doesn't even work for a drill inspector in the United States Air Force. I'm telling you, these folks loved this man. Why? Because he was telling them what they needed to hear. Why would we, Why would we love someone, Chris, who tells us what we want to hear, even though it's wrong, rather than someone who tells us what we need to hear, even when it's right? Shame on us if that's what we do.
Amen. Let's see. We have Jackie in East Setauket, Long Island, and Jackie says, how do you interpret Isaiah 66:1 as a postmillennialist, which says, this is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Is that referring to something yet in our future when things are much more improved on this earth according to the postmillennial scheme? Or is earth his footstool even back in the old covenant?
Yeah, so this verse here, Isaiah 66:1, is actually quoted, the latter part of it is actually quoted by Stephen just in Acts chapter 7, just prior to him challenging his listeners and ultimately being stoned to death, where he says, where's the house that you built for me, and where's the place of my rest? And of course, Stephen was arguing that he lives in every single one of us. There's no way we could possibly build a house big enough for him. So I think what the questioner is asking here is, what does it mean that heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool? What does that look like? Now, interestingly enough, in the book of Lamentations, for example, Jeremiah laments the fact, it's the book of Lamentations after all, he laments the fact that God gave up his footstool. In other words, there it's a term of endearment, if you will, in the book of Lamentations. We often think of it from the book 1 Corinthians 15, where it's a term of conquering, if you will. Either way, it's a verse that I have to love, because it tells us that God is concerned with what's going on here on earth. It's not a crapshoot. Another example about that, a lot of times we have folks that get really excited about heaven, and you know, I suppose we should. Heaven's a wonderful place, no doubt about it. Christ saying, if it wasn't the way, I would have told you if there weren't many mansions in my Father's house. Here's the thing. When we see glimpses of heaven, generally speaking, we see that in the book of Chronicles with Micaiah. The prophet Micaiah saw a vision in heaven. Obviously, with John, there's an awful lot of interaction going on in heaven there. When John and Micaiah see what's going on in heaven, the topic from heaven is what's going on the earth. Most of what John saw was heaven acting and earth responding, if you will. Judgments and justice being poured out. Same way with Micaiah. So when we see here, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, what Christ is saying, where is the house that you built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? And then the next verse, which is what Stephen also quoted, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. Well, he didn't quote this part. Even him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. And what Isaiah is talking about here is, you know, you think you want to please God by building him buildings. Here's what really pleases me: the one who trembles at my word. And that being the case, Chris, we have to tremble for everything from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm not really sure if I'm answering the question well, Chris. If I'm not, maybe you can clarify it for me.
Well, that would be up to the listener, obviously, but you sounded to, you made perfect sense to me. And if the listener wants to chime in, I believe that was Jackie in East Setauket. If you want to chime in and send another email, we'd love to hear from you. But right now we're going.
Jackie, I hope I got you, Jackie. I hope I did.
And we're going to our final break. If anybody wants to join us before we run out of time, which is happening very quickly, send us an email immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Joel Saint right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here. former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
And I have a very strong, hearty, deep felt shout of thanks to my friend, Pastor David Rees, whose voice you just heard, of Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona. When David heard about the tough financial situation that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is going through, yesterday he called me up and he said, "You know something, Chris? I love advertising on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much. We've even gotten a family who have joined the church in Arizona who heard about our church from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want to pay in advance 6 months up front right now for the renewal of our contract in January of 2005. So Pastor Rees has already wired the money right into my account for the first 6 months of his advertising yesterday, which doesn't even start, his renewal doesn't even start until January 3rd of 2005. So thank you so much, Pastor David Rees. You are certainly a gem of a man and a dear brother in Christ. Well, I am now back with the final segment of my interview today with Joel Saint, the pastor of the Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, and also the orchestrator of the Future of Christendom Conferences. And before we conclude perhaps with a summary of what you wanted to say today about our topic about Christ as King, I want to make sure that you have time to once again invite my listeners to your Future of Christendom Conference, October 11th and 12th, featuring Dr. Joseph Boot.
Yeah, for sure. And again, Chris, thanks for having me today. Really always enjoy being with you, for sure. But yes, put it on your calendar, please, October the 11th and 12th. If you're a pastor or a church leader, attend Chris Aronson's luncheon the day before on the 10th, which is a Thursday. But the Friday and the Saturday at the Spooky Nook Sports Complex in Manheim, Pennsylvania, which is Lancaster County, the Future of Christendom organization will be featuring the Christ is King conference, again, featuring Dr. Joseph Boot, who wrote, I think, for me, a wonderful book. It's a big book, but it's
The Mission of God. The Mission of God.
The Mission of God. You got it. You got it. What Joe Boot does in that is says all the things that I wish I could say, but I'm not articulate enough. And I really encourage folks to get that book. But Dr. Joseph Boot will be speaking twice. He'll be also giving an exposition talk, an 18-minute talk as well. We'll also be hearing from Pastor Matt Truella, who maybe your listeners might know. Also yeah. from John Harris as well, and missionary Ron Kranz, and many others. And we keep hearing people say that, you know, and right now, if you get in before the price goes up, $99 for the entire weekend, and that does include a meal. So it's a labor of love, obviously, that we want to share with others. And we want to plant our flag and say, you know what? No, Christ is King. We're not going to qualify it. We're not going to say he will be King later on sometime when at some other point. No, we're saying he is King now. He's been King, and all must submit themselves to him. As we've mentioned before in this broadcast, all will at some point. But that's October 11th and 12th in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. Go to futureofchristendom.org to register. Please do that. The price goes up over time, so we want to give you a break early on. And, you know, love to see everyone there. We've done this every year for about the last 6 years, and we constantly get back, Chris, the highest praise. We used to hand out an evaluation form, you know, 1 to 5, the speakers were relevant, you know, the topics were relevant, the speakers were available, and we kept on getting such high marks on all of our feedback. It kind of looked the same. We kept on getting the range in between the 4.5 and the 5 area. So we actually, rightly or wrongly, Chris, we actually quit doing the evaluation. That's how good this has been. Go to futureofchristendom.org to register.
That's futureofchristendom.org. And I really love that Spooky Nook facility.
You were there last year.
Yes, yeah. That's where we had the debate that I orchestrated between Dr. James R. White and Dr. Gregory Coles on is it biblically acceptable to be a gay Christian or to identify as one? And really great facility, really loved it. And loved the restaurant that's right inside of that facility as well. So don't forget, folks, it's futureofchristendom.org, and the dates for that event are Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th. Don't forget, as Pastor Joel just mentioned, the day before that conference, I'm having my next free biannual Iron Trip and Zion Radio Pastor's Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County. Also featuring Dr. Joseph Boot, founder of the Ezra Institute, prolific author and highly sought after conference speaker. Everything is free of charge, not only your meal and your admission, but also a heavy sack of free brand new books personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers. Everything is always free at the insistence of my precious late wife, Julie, who founded these luncheons in the 1990s on Long Island, New York, where I used to live. And I have been keeping them exactly according to her design ever since. And they have been conducted in loving memory of her and in honor and tribute to her ever since she went home to eternity with Christ. So if you'd like to attend this next free pastor's luncheon, if you're a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Also, I don't want our listeners to forget about the website for the Independence Reformed Bible Church, the church pastored by my guest, Joel Saint, irbc.church, irbc.church is the website. Joel, as always, it is a great honor and privilege to have you on the show. You did a superb job, as you always do. By the way, I want to give our listeners a heads up. There is a brother in Christ who's going to be my guest tomorrow, who is using a pseudonym. He is using a fake name in plain English because he is a missionary in Cuba. And in order to prevent being barred from reentrance into Cuba in the future, he is using a pseudonym. And he also wants to protect those Christians laboring with him who are living in Cuba. So tune in tomorrow. We're going to hear an update on his missionary endeavors in Cuba. And I hope that you send in a question to this dear brother. Well, I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.